Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Is there a pattern for worship? Friend, why do we even have to ask this question? Bible believers have always considered the Bible as the pattern to follow. But some, like Reuben Shelley and Max Lucado and others of the same heretical bent, they deny that the Bible furnishes us a pattern. And this error is propagated at such places as the Tulsa Workshop, on the campus of Lipscomb University and Abilene University, Image Magazine, the infamous Jubilee, by the so-called community churches and others, all of which sneer as what they call pattern theology, pattern authority, calling it traditionalism, and other terms that they consider uncomplimentary. Now, there are many names and quotations, verbal and written comments, to prove this allegation. They say it is impossible to restore the New Testament church. And some even boast that they're not interested anymore in doing that. They want what they call something that is relevant to our present culture, as if New Testament Christianity is not. And they contend that the church must be flexible to change with the culture, to be acceptable with the culture, or it will die. And they shout that the Bible is no blueprint or guide. It's only God's love letter to those of the first century culture. For such as this is a blatant and blasphemous attack on God and His Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But the doctrine of these people of whom I have spoken, it's as old as rebellion itself, because it allows for all kinds of doctrines and practices, and just anything goes. Man's will, not God's will, is the standard. And what some call freedom in Christ is really self-imposed bondage to self and to sin. Oh, they want to do their own thing, and they want that kind of religion. That's not a new contention, but one that has been revived, certainly, in our time. Friend, if there's no pattern, even for how we worship, we can do anything we wish. If there is no right or no wrong, we can do whatever we want. Whatever suits you, why, God will just have to accept it. And everybody can worship God according to whatever dictates he may perceive in his own heart and his own passion. But the Old Testament and the New Testament reflect patterns. The Scripture provides us guidance and blueprints and forms and examples and types and antitypes, shadows and images. Not just anything is all right before God. God has had patterns in every generation, in every dispensation, not only in worship, but in other areas as well. Consider the pattern for Noah's ark. And how could Enoch walk with God if he could not know whatever God wanted, or that if he was allowed to just do whatever he wished? Could Abraham leave the Ur of Chaldees and just go anywhere? Is there no pattern for the government of the church? The plan of salvation, it's the same conversion process, conversion after conversion. You read about them in the book of Acts. All of them are according to the same pattern. Now you ask David or Uzzah, the man who touched the Ark of the Covenant, if there was a pattern regarding the transportation of the Ark. Those of you who know your Bible, you know the episode there. How could Christ be our example if there is no pattern? Why would Paul say, imitate him as he imitated Christ, if there is no pattern? Exercising judgment implies the existence of a standard and a rule, a pattern. There is a law. God has always had a pattern in worship. In every age, God has expected worship from man, but according to God's directions. Worship is showing deep respect. It's paying homage. It's doing obeisance. It is composed of specified acts that are authorized and done with reverence and awe, drawing near to God, having communion with Him. John 4 and verse 24 teaches us the right object of worship, which is God, the right attitude, worship in spirit, with the right actions, worship in truth. Now, this implies there is a pattern for such things. We cannot worship just anybody or anything, just any way we see fit and please God. Inherent in the very nature of worship is that the worshiper does the will of the one who is worshiped. And God has never left it to man to determine how to worship Him. And we must have the attitude, I give you as you direct, not, here, God, you take whatever I give. We need to remember, friend, who is in charge? Is it man or is it God? Now, not everything we do is worship. Now, you might think it absurd to even have to discuss this, but some contend that everything you do is worship. Some have gleaned this from following the modern-day speech perversions of Scripture. I am not worshiping, friend, when I wash the car or plow my garden or cook a meal or change the oil in the lawnmower. If that was worship, obviously there's no pattern, and everybody can and does worship differently. Well, this would allow whatever innovation someone might wish. And if we play White Christmas on the piano at home, and that is worship, then we could be justified in playing the piano in the assembly. And I'm persuaded that this is what some are trying to establish with this idea that everything that we do is worship. But in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham went to the mountain with Isaac to worship. What he was doing prior to that was obviously not worship. Elkanah went to Shiloh to worship, 1 Samuel 1. Well, why go there if everything he did was worship? The Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship, Acts 8:27. Riding in his chariot was not an act of worship. Paul came to Jerusalem to worship, Acts 24. Well, riding horseback was not worship. Wise men came to worship, and Herod sought him to worship him, Matthew chapter 2. Obviously, everything that they did was not worship. No, worship involves a time and a place, certain deeds and acts, with the right attitude of heart that are recognizable as distinctive from everything else one does. All that you do is not worship, the change agents notwithstanding. They confuse worship and service. All worship is service, but not all service is worship. Now, there are Old and New Testament worship patterns. Cain and Abel worshipped. Abel worshipped by faith. One of them did right and the other did wrong. Was the worship of the golden calf wrong? Surely it was. But why was it not all right if they had no pattern? Idolatry violated the pattern. The design of the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the garments of the priesthood itself, was according to God's revealed pattern. And you ask Nadab and Abihu if there was a pattern for worship in their day. Fire came from the altar and devoured them because they did that which the Lord commanded not. Jeroboam, who was an ancient change agent, he changed the time and the place and the personnel in worship that violated God's pattern. Why, if there was no pattern for worship, how could the Corinthians ever abuse the Lord's Supper? But they were doing it. The very fact that there is designated the object of worship, who is God, demonstrates there is a pattern to follow. Now, why has this issue risen? It's because some have a disdain for the law of God. They are repulsed by the need to obey. They have a passion for the new more than for the true. They are obsessed with change in order to accommodate what people want and in order to draw crowds. They also desire to do their own thing, to be like the nations round about, to receive the approval of men. They have abandoned a love for the truth, but disrespect for verbal inspiration. And following the wisdom of men, they inject their innovations. They criticize our worship as dull and boring and unattractive and without appeal to the modern culture. And so they seek entertainment and lights and drama and fun and celebration and excitement, a holy wow, shouting, clapping, dancing, emotionalism, swaying with solos and choirs and instruments, concerts and other kind of performances to which applause is given. Some like beads and incense and animal blood and signs and symbols and candles and an appeal to feelings. Someone said, we get excited at ball games. Why not get excited at church? Friend, that's the wail of an ignorant, blasphemous, digressive people. If you can't tell the difference between a ball game and worship, you've got more problems than I think man's going to be able to solve for you. But worship was never intended to be a religious hee-haw. In music, some clamor for their solos and choirs and their special music and their instruments. In giving, they invent many ways to simply raise funds. Regarding the Lord's Supper, they want it any time, any way, with artificial environment and drama to arouse emotions. They use divided assemblies, substitute assemblies, enter interdenominational periods of worship. They seem to have never learned to give to God at worship, and that's not just a reference to finances. But they seek to get and to satisfy self so they can leave that period feeling good. Well, Colossians 3 and verse 17 still says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, we have authority to sing. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. We have authority to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week with the proper ingredients and understanding as a memorial to Christ, Matthew 26 and 1 Corinthians 11, Acts chapter 20. We are to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5, Matthew 6, and we're to give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16, Proverbs 3. And our attitude is involved in the scriptural pattern for worship. These things the Lord's church did when directly guided by the Holy Spirit in the first century. I ask you, were they wrong? Who can be the Lord's counselor today and advise him of things better to do? Now, the change agents evidently think they have been elevated to some special dispensation to that level, and they seek to redirect the way and the manner that worship to God is to be offered in our time. Who can believe them? They show no respect for the necessity for God's authority, nor do they show respect for His word whatsoever, except whatever pleases them and when it might harmonize with what they want. No, I tell you, dear people, pattern is implied and it is unavoidable. That there is a pattern in serving God includes worship. It is implied in the passages I want to read to you. And there is no way that anybody that's honest can or will want to avoid it. In 2 John 9-11, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your houses, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Now, friend, those who just go along with the promoters of the present heresies need to take note. There is obviously a pattern for serving God, and that would include worship. Paul wrote, Galatians 1, "I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Paul, did it make a difference what one believed, what one does, how one works, how one worships? Well, according to that passage, it must make a difference. The Apostle Peter said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." That doesn't leave man to do just whatever he wants to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Friend, the bottom line in this issue of a pattern in worship is simply, shall we serve God or shall we serve man or shall we serve ourselves? Shall we follow the human wants or the divine will? Shall we be the Lord's church or just a man's denomination? Shall we be Christians or just religious after our own fashions and the ever-changing cultural habits? Well, Joshua gives us the answer. "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And having made that resolution, let us do so according to his pattern, including worship. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.